In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother of us all. Amen. I really love reading, like a lot. Something about jumping into the pages of a book and learning about someone else's perspective or experience of the world is really exciting to me. And at any given moment, I am reading many books. And for reference, right now, I counted, I am reading 10 books at one time. We can talk later about if that's viable or not. But, and I know most people don't read like that, switching between narratives and storylines. But the reason I'm reading 10 books right now is because I am in 10 different book clubs. Like I said, time management, a conversation over coffee for after this. But reading brings me joy, so I do it a lot. The question is, why so many book clubs, right? And how so many? Well, the why is this. I am a part of numerous online reading communities. Virtual groups where I have become friends with people all around the world. I have friends in China and Portugal and Argentina and Canada who read with me every month a different book. But even more shockingly, I have friends across this country who are Republicans and Democrats, who are PhD educated and only have a high school diploma, who use a computer at their house and who go to the public library to use a computer, who are religious and who have never darkened the door of a church, and the list continues. That's why. Because I'm a part of these communities, and they're the only part of the internet I have found where we aren't shouting our opinions past each other, but are listening to each other. A place where our difference matters, because it makes us beautiful and helps us understand different parts of a book. It's only in community and because of our difference that we can better understand a storyline. And in a world where the internet is used and where our public spaces are used to shout at each other, to ignore each other, in a world where we pretend we know everything all the time, this is a place where I'm allowed and encouraged to be curious. That doesn't happen a lot in our world. And this community, these online communities, are a breath of fresh air for me. That's the corner of the internet where I have found some hope. In the physical world, the hope that I have found is the church. We all long for something more than the exhaustion of constantly shouting past each other and searching for meaning in the midst of a loud and messy and confusing world. And I desperately, desperately hope that church is that place for us. That place where we can practice listening for the sake of hearing one another, practice radical love and hospitality, and can practice curiosity. Today's story from the book of Acts tells us about Paul's experience in the city of Athens, but it also speaks to our lives today. It speaks to our need for a place where we can practice listening, loving, and being curious. If you heard the story last week, you might remember that Paul was recently with his friend Silas in a place called Philippi, a part of ancient Greece where they were preaching the gospel to a group of new converts. And while they were telling the story about God and sharing the good news about what Jesus' resurrection means for our life and community, Paul and Silas ended up in prison. But they sang, and an earthquake occurred, and everyone was set free, and the jailer asked to be baptized, and it was awesome, and it was incredible. And as we learned last week, ours is a God who sets people free. Today, we move just a little bit down the storyline. Paul and Silas have left that place called Philippi. They made a pit stop in a place called Thessaloniki, and then they split ways. Paul went on to the great city of Athens, and his friends went somewhere else, and they'll meet up later. And the city of Athens that Paul arrives in is a bustling metropolis. It's a place that's filled with big ideas. It's filled with important scholars, with beautiful architecture, with sculpture, with theater. It's a place where the human mind is praised, where logic and reason are relied on. And at the same time, it's a place of deep religious fervor and reverence. A place where temples are built to all sorts of different gods and goddesses, in hope of finding just a kernel of meaning or purpose in the midst of so many opinions and big ideas. Athens, a city that's named after the goddess Athena, is a place filled with altars for religious sacrifice and hills on which to praise the gods. So when Paul gets there, he goes to the agora, or the marketplace. This marketplace was like the ancient Greek version of Facebook or the local coffee shop. This was where everyone gathered to literally shout their opinions at each other. Seriously. People would stand on the side of these narrow little roads throughout this public space. They would claim their little plot of land, and they would start shouting their ideas at each other, at anyone who walked by. This was the place where Socrates and Aristotle and Plato got famous, and where every single other Greek person tried to get famous. And if that sounds familiar, it might be because it reminds me, at least, of my Facebook and Twitter news feeds. This marketplace was a place where everyone had a right to speak, but very few felt the need to listen. It was a noisy, loud, chaotic, and confusing environment, and it's here, in the middle of this, where Paul walks around for a few days, listens to people, hears the stories they're telling, the poetry they're quoting, the logic they're using, and then he does the thing. He finds his little piece of ground, looks around, gets settled, and starts telling the story of who God is. He uses the words, poetry, and logic that the Athenians would have known to paint a picture for them of what God's dream for them is, of what God's dream for all of us is. And then, in the midst of this chaotic environment, something awesome happens. People actually start to listen. People stop. Something about what Paul says gets their attention. And they say, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that I'd like to learn more. Maybe in a less noisy, crowded place, would you be willing to come with us to this hill called the Areopagus? We'd like to hear more. And Paul says, sure. And so they go. Now the Areopagus, this hill, is a place that stands right in between the marketplace and the Acropolis, that famous hill in Athens where all the temples are. The Areopagus is on this big road that everyone walks up to get to the Temple Mount, and it's on the route that the annual massive parade of sacrifice walks up. We're talking hundreds upon hundreds of bulls and other animals being marched up this road every year to be sacrificed to the goddess Athena. Here, Paul stands in the shadow of this mount, built in a desperate attempt to fill the emptiness of the lives of these people. And Paul and the whole crowd stand in the shadow of temples built to Athena and Nike and Poseidon and even some unknown gods. Temples built out of a grasp to find meaning. But those temples haven't gotten them very far, have they? Because sure, the Greeks are advanced in all sorts of ways, but they still find themselves feeling empty. Does that sound familiar? Here we are, Friends, alive in the 21st century, we are surrounded by technology that can sustain friendships across oceans, surrounded by medicine that can keep people alive in all sorts of horrifying and glorious ways, surrounded by millions of options all the time, and yet it's not enough. Something's missing. That stuff doesn't fulfill us. The temples that we have built to consumerism and perfection and pride, and the altars we've built to good grades and performance reviews and numbers on a scale, they leave us feeling empty. And standing in their shadow, we don't feel whole. Now, the Athenians who were in that marketplace, they were attentive enough to notice something, a kernel of truth in what Paul was saying. And they were brave enough to be curious and admit that they didn't know everything. And it's because of their attentiveness and curiosity that they were able to hear the good news of God's love for them. Friends, in a world filled with noise and news feeds and fake news and so much shouting, how do we practice listening for the sake of hearing each other? Really hearing each other? How do we identify truth in a world of brokenness? Well, it's fitting that Paul is standing where he is when he proclaims God's love and life to this crowd, because somewhere in between the chaos of everyone shouting all of their opinions and the fundamentalist reverence and temple building at the Acropolis, somewhere in between those lies God's truth. And this is that truth, that God's grace is for you. That in a world where we kill ourselves building temples and altars to grades and appearances and substances and our work and our appearance and our weapons and our ideologies, emptiness will naturally occur, but that's not the only option. Because we belong to a living, breathing, true God who has claimed us as children and who isn't made of stone. That God doesn't live in those temples or on those altars, but God lives everywhere, among and inside of us. God's alive in our breath, in our love for one another, in our prayer, in our hope, in our ability to listen to one another, in our curiosity, in our humility. God lives in water. God lives in bread and wine. And at this altar, God does promise to be present. Friends, Paul's message to a crowd in Athens is a message we need to hear today. That we belong to God and that God is alive in us. When the Athenians heard Paul speaking that truth in the marketplace, I think they noticed it because something happened to them. I think their hearts were stirring. I think that because when something is of God, the Spirit moves within us and does a little dance in our hearts to get our attention. Do we notice that, or are we too busy building altars and temples and listening to the loud voices that surround us? In a world that is so noisy, God is in our hearts, begging us to learn how to pay attention to one another, to learn how to listen to hear one another, to learn how to feel our hearts stirring. And though we may feel empty, God has an answer for that. An empty tomb. The promise of new and abundant life. The promise of transformation. The hope of a God who isn't scared of death. And today, Paul calls on us to remember that the real shadow we stand in is that of the cross. A place of God's ultimate love and care for us. To be alive is to be wrapped in God's love and wholeness, is to be part of a story that is so filled with grace and so much bigger than us. Friends, may we learn how to notice all the ways that God stirs our hearts. May we learn how to listen to hear one another, to love one another, and to be curious, that we might learn something new and fantastic about God's hope for us. Amen.